This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast. Presented by Allied Home Security.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Thursday.
It's Thursday, bro.
Thursday. Thank you, dude.
It's
I appreciate
Framber Valdez Day.
It is Framber
it's
Day.
Valdez. It's Framber Week. I was trying to think. As I sat here angry about the fact that Deshaun Watson has intruded into this Framber Valdez greatness. I was trying to come up with a nickname for whatever this whole... It's the Framber Valdez era, IMO.
Yeah, man, that was huge, huge last night. We'll get to Deshaun and all the rumors. I promise you that. You guys know that. Welcome in, everybody. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday, a very festive Wednesday yesterday because the Astros set the Astros... 15 unanswered runs between Tuesday and Wednesday, a postseason record for the hometown squad. 9-1 yesterday, a game that was, I would say, honestly, even when it was only 1-0 for a big portion of the game, never really a stressful game, man. You can tell with Framber, I suppose you could tell this with any of the starters in this series, whether they have it or not early, because up until yesterday, none of them had it. But Framber had it yesterday, man. Framber... Seth, we just want it. It's almost like the starters for the Astros had set an expectation level to where we're like, just give us five innings. Please, just give us five. Framber was as generous as could be. He gave us eight. Eight!
I think your stress level might have been affected a little bit by what you were consuming.
Why? Were you stressed out?
I wasn't stressed out, but I mean... There was always a question is, okay, how far can he go and how long is he going to keep this up? And it kept getting more and more exciting. The problem was that Chris Sale on the other side was dealing too.
He was good, yeah.
So until the Astros got to Sale, that's when I was thinking this might end up being 1-0 going on into the eighth inning or so.
Yeah.
And that's where so I was a little bit nervous.
Yeah. No, you're
but
right.
Then it just got exciting.
I was hammered. You're right.
Like, yeah. You were feeling all the cockiness of Valdez just throwing strikes, dealing, absolutely just crushing, choking the will to live out of the Fenway Park crowd. Astros fans were way louder than Red Sox fans for obvious reasons.
Were they?
Astros fans, Sean, were singing Sweet Caroline at the end of the
game. Are you serious? Okay, I couldn't hear any of this because I was at Kirby Ice House. I was, I couldn't hear the broadcast. I was only watching it.
I couldn't hear it on the broadcast. Jessica Morales said so.
Okay.
That they were singing Sweet Caroline, which is really, really nice.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know, for some reason, Sweet Caroline, a song by a man, Neil Diamond, who's not from Boston, as far as I know, is like their anthem up there.
Yes.
That stupid, stupid song is
I
Boston's
like
anthem. It used to be a good song, but it's been ruined by Red Sox fans.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Dude, Framber, eight innings. And Seth, as that game was going on, I kept, they got the pitch count going on there on the graphic on the screen.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's crazy. Like, in the fifth inning, like, with most of these starters, even the ones that pitch well, it starts to get to a pitch count in about the fifth inning where you're like, okay, well, the plug could get pulled on this at any juncture, especially in a close game, right? It's 1-0. The pitch count starts to get up in the fifth or sixth inning. I'm looking up at the pitch count in the fifth inning, and it's like 52.
Yeah.
I mean, Framber could not have been more efficient with his pitches.
Yeah, yesterday. And he kept it below 100, too. I was wondering if they were going to send him out for the ninth. At that point, though, you'd been warming up Stanek forever. Presley had been warming up for a little while.
Yeah.
It got into the smoke 'em if you got 'em phase, and just don't tempt fate. I think that Framber pitched less than 100 pitches, and he's gone. He's gone over 100 a few times this season. Mm-hmm. His highest pitch counts were 107 and 108, and I was wondering if they were going to try to creep it on up into that, but it just didn't. It didn't end up mattering. It was just it was a magnificent performance. It really. I hate to get caught up in the moment, but given the circumstances, even if you throw all the stats out, the fact that this was game five of the ALCS, your relievers had just given you 7 1/3 or 7 2/3 innings the night before, it was as clutch could be. And honestly, you know, to steal the Rockets' catchword, this really has been all about clutch performances by both individuals and the team in this series so far. I mean, if you look at the playoffs in general, where the Astros just continue to produce with two outs offensively.
Yep.
Well, there I get, Sean, I get excited when there are two outs. It's like I'm waiting for the inning to begin, and it doesn't begin until there's two outs.
Right.
And then I'm just waiting for somebody to knock in a run. It was a really an all-time brilliant performance by Framber Valdez.
Here is Dusty Baker on the performance of his starting pitcher yesterday.
Yeah, Maldi. Directing him, you know, Maldi would get on him at the right time, and you know, he was throwing strikes. You know, he had a good tempo going. He threw, you know, he didn't mess around, you know, forcing that breaking ball like he had the last couple starts and then getting behind, and you know, he was attacking the strike zone, and I mean, his pitch count was very, very low. You know, he only got in trouble a couple times, and then, like I've always said, that sinker can get you out of trouble, you know, with two outs and, you know, on one pitch. And I think that happened three or four times, and I don't know how many turned, but I know we turned at least three, possibly four.
Yeah, Framber was sensational last night, Seth. And I'll say this, too, as somebody who is, as you know, a Jason Castro enthusiast, it felt silly for me now to even think that they would, for this game at least, that they would think about, and Dusty didn't think about doing this, but plenty of the Astro faithful did. 60% of them in a Pender poll said, hey, start Jason Castro, not Martin Maldonado. Not in that game. I felt silly for even thinking it for game five because of who was on the mound. You know what I mean? Like, we know Framber is a guy who does need a little bit of therapy along the way. Through these starts. Now, he didn't yesterday. He was awesome the whole way through yesterday. There was never a point where it looked like Framber was laboring at all or where the moment was too big. He's had moments like that. He's had moments in this series where the moment looked too big for him. Martin Maldonado being his caddy was essential yesterday.
The FS1 cameras caught him in the dugout doing what looked like breathing exercises. Because, you know, Framber, one of the big stories about him is the way he's learned to rein in his emotions.
Right.
And it was really cool to see him just kind of inhaling, exhaling slowly, keeping himself calm. And he looked about as loose as you could possibly be in that situation. When he didn't get calls that went his way, one time he and Maldonado got crossed up, and Framber just laughed it off each and every time. It was really reassuring, I guess, because as we established, I was way more stressed about everything than you were.
Yeah.
It was really cool. The other thing too, that when Dusty talks about those double plays, there are two areas where Astros fans get excited, where I think the opposing fans might not realize what they're in for. So far in this playoffs, it's been when the Astros are up with two outs. You get excited now because they've just been so clutch. The other is when Framber Valdez is pitching, I get excited when there's runners on the bases because it's like there's an imminent double play.
Yeah.
This is by far, the biggest ground ball pitcher in baseball.
Yes.
Like, he's 10% ahead of the second place guy, pitching with one of the best infields behind him defensively.
Yeah.
So when you just don't get as nervous when there's traffic on the base paths with Valdez.
This is a huge development for this team's chances of winning the World Series because they're not going to have Lance McCullers. I don't think they're going to have Lance McCullers for the rest of the postseason. And if Framber is reestablishing himself as a guy that they can throw out there in games 1, possibly 4 and 7 in a World Series, right? I mean, not it's the nature of the World Series to go on shorter rest because you got all winter to rest your arm. And Fromber has one of those arms, Seth, that is, it's a rubber arm. You know what I mean? Like, you get into a World Series where all of a sudden, if you're up against it and you need to throw him on 3 days rest, the fact that he went out there and did what he did yesterday is, and I don't want to get ahead of myself and just put them in the World Series, but, you know, we need to address the possibility or the likelihood that that's what's going to happen here. Yeah. Fromber reestablishing himself in that game yesterday on the road in a crucial game five as a guy who can be the guy for a team that doesn't have Lance McCullers. It can't be overstated how massive that is for this team. Massive. Yep. All right. So plenty of Astros talk here on the show today. 713-572-4610. Meanwhile, right in the middle of all the Astros stuff, in come the Deshaun Watson trade rumors. Why this time, I think, the Deshaun Watson trade rumors, which are reportedly imminent, could be for real. Next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Man, it's fun watching these highlights, dude. Fromber just dealing yesterday. This is fun. All right, Astros up 3-2. We'll get back to the Astros in just a minute. The other big bit of news yesterday. And, Seth, this is why I think it's for real this time. This is not Jay Glazer throwing stuff against the wall. This is not Adam Schefter with a reminder every 3 weeks to tweet something about Deshaun Watson. This is... the first I saw was Mark Berman, but I know John McClain has weighed in on it as well. Those two seem to work in tandem on stuff like this. When one tweets, the other does right afterwards. But Deshaun Watson, Mark Berman is the tweet I saw yesterday. Texans are working toward a potential deal that would send Deshaun Watson to the Miami Dolphins that could get done this week. If not this week, they still hope they can get it done before the November 2nd trade deadline. Look, I said yesterday, Seth, that it's going to be a bananas couple weeks for the Texans. I was not even entertaining a Deshaun Watson trade happening in the next 2 weeks when I said that yesterday. If a Deshaun Watson trade happens in the next 2 weeks, this is a franchise-altering couple of weeks that we're sitting on here. I don't think a big surprise that Miami would be the team. They've been the team, it feels like, all along. But I guess why now would be the question. And McClain said yesterday on the afternoon show, Clint Sterner in the show, that it doesn't look like the league's going to do anything with Deshaun. Like, potentially, if the Dolphins trade for Deshaun Watson, that he could be available to play in Week 9 against the Houston Texans. How crazy is that?
Oh, yeah. Man, I hadn't even thought about that part of it, Sean.
Yeah.
This is... For one, okay, I can't say this enough. I am so peeved and annoyed that Deshaun Watson's situation is taking any shine at all or any attention away from the Framber Valdez outing last night.
Yeah.
Not to mention Yordan Alvarez or anybody else.
Right.
But I'm also, I'm almost, Is excitement the word? What is the word? This is one of those feelings that it seems like the Germans might have a word for it, but we don't know what it is. Daryl Morey's very good at this game of like explaining foreign words that there's no English equivalent. And like, this has an S.
Like Zeitgeist. Yeah, word like
that. Yeah, yeah. Or Sisu.
Yeah.
Brent Strom talked about the Finnish word. Sisu. It's a Finnish word that means stoic determination, hardiness, courage, whatever. So we'll talk about that
here,
later.
Actually.
Yeah. We'll talk about that because Brent Strom invoked it last night with Framber. I'm excited to at least finally almost be done with it all.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the Astros are going to get for him. I'm trying real hard to care what they get for him, but mostly I just want it to be all over. As far as the Houstonians or as far as Houston football is concerned, for the 22 alleged victims, obviously that's still ongoing for all their families and everything else. Obviously, I don't want to discount or diminish that. But from a football perspective, it might finally all of a sudden blessedly be over.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is, look, until we know what exactly is being discussed for the Texans to get back in the trade, it's really hard for me to get maximum excited about it. I'm with you. Like, I'm looking forward to moving on and really being, honestly, Seth, I mean, the team's 1-5, the Texans are. Like, we know where this is going. The season itself is going nowhere. So I'm excited to potentially know what the draft looks like for this team next year. These are the unknowns that are tempering my excitement about the report yesterday from Mark Berman and John McClain that the Texans and the Dolphins are working toward a deal that could get done this week, if not before the trade deadline on November 2nd. What's tempering it is Nick Caserio going to take a discount now? Is he going to take a discount for Deshaun Watson? And for anybody who says, well, we've heard all along, he's not going to take a discount. I will remind you that they also said they're not trading Deshaun Watson back in January and February. So whatever has been said about what they will and won't take. And to be clear, Nick Caserio has said none of this stuff. These are all just reports from people about what Nick Caserio's view on this thing is. He's not going to take a discount. He's not going to have conditions attached to these picks. Until I see actual proof that he's not taking a discount nor taking conditions attached to these picks, it remains open as a possibility that that could be the case. And that's really the thing that I'm wondering, Seth, is if we are getting close to a deal. And the talk all along has been three firsts and some other stuff, players, second-round picks, whatever the case may be. If this thing winds up being two firsts and Tua or something like that, or two firsts and a third, something that's way less than what we've all been expecting, then what that says to me is that the Texans will have quantified the ability to get out from underneath all the Deshaun Watson drama. They will have quantified, they will have quantified the not our problem anymore part of this. You know what I mean? Now those 22 lawsuits and the police investigation and whatever the NFL may or may not do, that's the Dolphins' problem now. And the price for that was X, Y, Z. The price for that was whatever the perceived discount is for Deshaun Watson. And man, I would rather Caserio dig in and not do a deal now and wait till the offseason when there's 7 or 8 teams involved in this thing, you know, and maybe one that Deshaun would want to go to other than Miami. I'd rather do a deal at maximum value in the offseason than do one now. So that's the thing that I'm most interested by.
There's a risk management element here.
Yes.
And this is the part that's impossible to predict is, okay, what are the chances Deshaun Watson misses X number of games? What are the chances that the criminal complaints, you know, are followed through upon? All of these things. You just don't know. And you have to balance all that out. And it's an impossible chore and an impossible task. I only have to hope and guess that maybe the Texans have a little bit more insight into it than the public at large, and that they're able to make a better decision than whichever team that they're trading with. I mean, the Dolphins are in desperation mode. To trade for Deshaun Watson, there's so much hazard, both logistically, strategically, morally, all of those things that only a desperate team would do. So sometimes desperate teams make desperate decisions, and we'll see. We're not really going to know like what the quote unquote correct decision on all of this was until probably 2 years from now.
Yep.
When everything finally shakes out.
Yep. Yeah. We'll talk plenty about this today. Framber Valdez's performance yesterday. We're going to talk plenty about that. 713-572-4610. I think one thing that you need to know regarding the Deshaun Watson situation, if you're a Texan fan, and they're doing a deal with the Dolphins, do not look at the Dolphins' record this year as some sort of benefit to the Texans. Like, hey, the Dolphins are 1-5. This might wind up being a top five pick. The Dolphins do not have their own first-round pick this year. Philadelphia has the Dolphins' first-round pick. The Dolphins do have San Francisco's first-round pick from the Trey Lance trade. So if you're looking at the draft, if you're specifically looking at the first-round pick for this season, it's San Fran, and they do a deal with the Dolphins, it'll be San Francisco's first-round pick. So that's the team that you'll want to go kind of look at their schedule, see how the season might play out. And keep in mind, the Niners have a bunch of injuries at quarterback right now as well. So that might wind up being a pretty decent pick for the Texans if the deal goes down.
As the Cardinals are potentially throttling the Texans this weekend, you can say to yourself, well, yeah, but okay, the fact that the Cardinals are so good is going to help us in the long run because they'll beat down on the 49ers a couple times, and then there we go.
Amen. Amen to that. All right, 713-572-4610. We'll get back to the Astros talk here in the next segment. Also, one thing that David Culley was asked about yesterday that I can guarantee you is not going on with the Houston Texans right now. That's next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Whitney talked about yesterday, and like he was thinking about how the moves feels like it is moving towards younger players and such. You know, whenever players, when those cuts happen and they start sensing things and, you know, losses start to pile up, how do you manage that isn't the case with and send that message?
We don't feel that way on our football team. The Dessa sense that way.
All right, that was David Culley, Brooks Cabina from The Chronicle with the question. David Culley, a lot of questions about the direction the Texans are going right now because of the release of Whitney Mercilus earlier this week. Andre Roberts released. I don't think they're going to be the last ones to go, would be my guess. And, of course, the trade deadline coming up in 12 days, and now Deshaun Watson trade rumors percolating up again, reports from Mark Berman and John McClain. So to me, that makes it real. Those are not two guys that just throw stuff out there haphazardly as far as trade rumors. So it becomes a very interesting couple of weeks. We're going to circle back to the Astros here in just a second. Here was David Culley yesterday when asked what Mercilus leaving means to the younger players on the team.
No, I don't think that affects how they're playing right now. I do know this. They'll miss him being around here because of his mentorship, the leadership that he's given. And I think what they'll do right now, they'll just take that and move on. And the other guys that haven't been playing quite as much because Whitney was in that role, they'll get an opportunity to do the same thing. But I think what's going to happen is you're going to see those guys, having had Whitney here, go and do the things that they've learned from him and become better football players because of him being here.
Okay, especially if Whitney is not the last one to go among veteran players on this team, this is what can't happen. People need to stop asking David Culley about a youth movement with this team. And here's why. They don't have any really good young players on this team. You know what I mean?
Like, right,
they've got a few. You know, Jonathan Grenard is a young player who's already getting major snaps on this team. Ross Blacklock is a young player who, as soon as he's recovered from COVID and conditioned again, he is going to get the same amount of snaps he's been getting. Probably the only young player I can think of right now who's being held down behind a bunch of veterans who probably don't deserve to play right now is Scotty Phillips. That's it. Let's not act like Whitney Mercilus getting cut is some harbinger for this massive infusion of youth, because they just don't have young players that are sitting there waiting to play. The Texans said, I went and did the count yesterday. By the way, this is also, while I'm illustrating a point to back up my take on the quote unquote youth movement with this team, I think it's something that plays into the Deshaun Watson trade happening imminently, which is the Deshaun Watson trade is going to be the mechanism with which you can remedy what it is I'm about to say, going and finding young players, because presumably you're going to get some draft capital, significant draft capital for Deshaun. They, with Whitney Mercilus now gone, the Texans don't have a single draft pick, not first round pick, draft pick on this team of their own that predates 2017. So they don't have a single draft pick, period. Not just first round, draft pick, period, from the classes of 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Gone. All of them. 2017, the only two players they have left are Deshaun Watson and Zach Cunningham, both of whom want the hell out of here, and probably both of whom will be out of here by the trade deadline. So 12 days from now, you and I will be talking about how they don't have a single guy on this team that was drafted before 2018. The two guys they have on the team that were drafted in 2018 on this roster, Jordan Akins, who I don't think is long for this team, and Justin Reed, who says all the right things, but if I'm Justin Reed, I'm up and out of here in free agency. That would that would bring us to a team now that doesn't have any players that predate 2019 in the draft. You want to hear who they have on the team from 2019, Seth?
Give them to me.
Tytus Howard, who sucks right now. Lonnie Johnson, who sucks right now. Max Sharping, who kind of sucks right now, and Charles Omenihu, who's inactive week to week. Those are the four guys they have from 2019. So let's assume that all of them continue to play the level they're at. That brings us to 2020, and we finally get to some guys that feel like they might have a future here. You're like, Ross Blacklock's done some good things this year. Jonathan Grenard, done some good things this year. Charlie Heck, feel pretty good about him maybe being part of this offensive line. We don't get to a young player that feels like they're definitely a part of the future moving forward until you get to 2020 with this draft. They only have 16 guys on the roster right now, including Deshaun Watson, that they drafted. And if you want some perspective on that, Indianapolis, the Colts, they've got 33. They've got 33 players that they drafted. So, and I know the Colts are a hardcore, they are an extreme example of that. I'll give you the other teams in the division. Tennessee has 25. And Jacksonville has 26. The Texans have 16, and most of them we don't think are going to be here after this season. So any talk of a youth movement, save it. There is not youth on this team that deserves to play right now.
I guess, all right, so there's no youth movement. I mean, but we already knew that, right? Like, there's nobody really.
I'm telling people
guys to get
stop asking
about
it. Is what I'm telling people.
Is it a youth? But isn't it though? Just because they're okay, Sean. Just because they don't have the same resources with their young players, it is still a move towards a younger roster. They are getting rid of older guys. It's just there's so many other things that contradict it, like having a geriatric running backs room and what have you. But it is the Whitney Mercilus decision is very much an indication of, the Texans aren't trying to win really all that many football games this year. They're trying to get young guys as much as experience as possible in various positions, except for, incredibly, for whatever reason, running back, where they just decide to just go with all old guys.
I guess, Seth, here's my point. is that the Rockets are in the middle of a youth movement. You know why? Because
yeah.
we know who the youth is. You know, my point with the whole youth movement thing would indicate that you're replacing these guys with guys you feel are part of the future of this team. And my overriding point is they don't have guys in the younger sector of the roster that are part of the future. Like, this team is bereft of everything right now.
Right.
They're bereft of good old players. They're bereft of good young players. They are, and you know, quite honestly, they're, you know, and it probably goes beyond that of what they're bereft of, but just for purposes of the football argument, they got nothing right now. They got nothing.
Right, yeah. Right. But that's what happens in a reset. It's not a 1 year deal. It's a multi-year process. It's what Rockets fans are slowly awakening to right this moment. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, we got some young studs, but they're 19 years old, and there's nobody else necessarily. And this is gonna be a little bit of a slog. Now, if you get lucky and it works out right, you can do it in 2 years. But it takes a little bit of luck. You know, the Seahawks, for instance, they got lucky with Russell Wilson. I mean, credit them for recognizing Russell Wilson's talent and drafting him when they did, but that very easily could have been a bad third-round pick, too. And then your reset process keeps getting kicked down the road a little bit. They also had a much better defense at the time than the Texans do right now, obviously.
Yep.
So it'll be – look, this is the reset year, and then after the reset year, there's a whole lot of building up to do, and a lot of it depends on what they get for Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
So Deshaun right now potentially being traded, and this is notable because, as you pointed out, this is the first time after several months of all of us hearing the same things about how Miami's in the mix, and you and I have both heard various levels of rumors about how close the Texans have been to deals. This is the first time that Berman and McClain have weighed in on it. You know, when they've had multiple opportunities to do so beforehand, this feels way more real because Berman and McClain have chosen to kind of sit on the sidelines and not report a lot of the information a lot of us have all heard.
Yeah.
But this time they're weighing in, and I don't think it's because Berman all of a sudden has to, you know, try to make one big strike, to get his career going or something.
No. Berman and McClain are not paid on clicks. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, so it feels a lot more real this time. And it's just a matter of, okay, what's the compensation going to be?
Yeah, that's the big thing. And by God, do not take a discount, Nick Caserio. This is, and I know Nick Caserio knows this, this is the nuclear bomb. Like, this is the chance. This is his one shot at accelerating the rebuild of this football team. Deshaun Watson, that's it. Like, all those numbers I just recited, Seth, that Indianapolis has 33 guys they drafted on the roster and the Texans have 16, this is your chance to remedy that. That the Texans have 8 guys on the roster that they drafted the last 2 years and that Jacksonville has 15, Indianapolis has 14, Tennessee has 11, this is your chance to remedy that. Indianapolis has 13 guys on the roster that they've drafted in the second and third round of recent draft. 13! The Texans have 9, and I feel like half of them are going to be gone by the trade deadline this year.
Well, what happens with the Texans, too, if you trade away Deshaun Watson, is how much it clears up cap space in the future.
Yes.
Because then it turns into next year is still not super comfortable. It's not like luxurious cap space or anything. But by 2024, you just have oodles and oodles of cap space, where if you start the youth movement next year with some draft picks and younger players, those guys then have a 4-year window where the Texans have all kinds of money to extend guys if they need to go out and fill in some holes in free agency. So I'm thinking this is going to be a 2-year process at least, with hopefully some first round picks to spend this coming off season. And then some money to play with after that.
I do wonder, you bring up Deshaun's salary. His salary goes from $10.5 million this year up to $35 million next year. I do wonder, and we won't know until we see what the trade looks like when it gets done, if it gets done before the trade deadline. But once we see what the final bounty is for Deshaun Watson, then we'll have a better idea how big an issue this is. The fact that I wonder how frightened the Texans are that if the legal stuff is not resolved, you know, if he's doing depositions in February and March and it looks like he could still be having this hover over him in 2022, how frightened they are of having to pay him $35 million just to sit there next year. It's one thing to pay him $10 million to sit there this year in a year where if everybody was taking truth serum over there, they would openly admit this was not a year they were expecting to do anything. I don't know that 2022 is a year they're expecting to do anything either, but it certainly does make it a whole hell of a lot more painful to pay a guy $35 million to sit there than it does $10 million to sit there. So
yeah,
being out from underneath that, being out from underneath the Deshaun's legal issues, not having to deal with the PR of it, I mean, that'll be fascinating to see, too, if a deal gets done with Miami. Miami, I'm guessing, Seth, has probably they probably had several conversations behind the scenes about how do we handle the PR part of this if and when we make a deal for Deshaun, especially if these cases are still open when they make the trade.
The natural thing to do, too, is to look at, okay, where are the Texans with their youth movement versus, say, the Rockets or the Astros? And the Rockets are very much in the middle of a youth movement, except with tantalizing young talent. I always have to remind myself in baseball, like, how warped your perception of age is because of when guys get called up and whatnot. Because sometimes I get excited about some of the young players on the Astros, and then I remember they're like, oh, yeah, Aledmys Diaz is 31 years old, and Framber is 27 years old.
Yeah.
But now Framber still has many good years ahead of him as long as he manages himself well.
Yeah.
But it's not – there are – the Astros are in better position than a lot of people thought they were as far as a window closing or what have you. But it's not always – it's good from a contractual standpoint, but it's not like it's all that young of a baseball team.
Yeah, well, and baseball players age better than football players for sure. 27, you're starting to see the – you're on the back nine at 27. 27, you're in your prime in baseball, but in football, not so much. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Astros win yesterday 9-1 over the Red Sox, so they come back home up 3-2. I mean, man, if someone was telling you while the Red Sox were peppering the Astros with runs during Game 3 that they would come back home up 3-2 in this series, you would have laughed. And a starting pitcher, Fromber, anybody giving you 8 innings in a start, you would have felt greedy asking for that. Clint Sterner's mom has weighed in again. Mama Sterner... she has shown with this latest one, Seth, there is nobody that is safe from Mama Sterner, whether it's an opponent of the Astros or whether it's a hated journalist for Astro fans.
Yeah, Jeff Passan wrote an article that a lot of Astros fans were understandably upset about because Jeff Passan chose to focus in on one errant call in a night of a bunch of errant calls and highlight that as the big thing to talk about after the Astros won Game 4 of the World Series, or of the ALDS.
Yeah, CS. ALCS, yeah. Did you drink or did I drink yesterday?
I know this is just my random misspeaks and whatnot. I got to start claiming I'm an alcoholic to try to get out of some of the mistakes I make. People say, don't worry about Seth. He's just an alcoholic.
He's got alcoholic immunity is what he
has. He's just your classic nonviolent alcoholic.
That's right.
So nothing to worry. Harmless drunk right there. He's just like that fat guy on the Andy Griffith Show.
Same thing.
Put him in the tank for a night and he'll be fine.
There you go. So Mama Sterner went in on Jeff Passan. Here is Clint Sterner's mom with her latest segment of Whoop That Ass.
Framber, Luis, Jose, y'all got to get it together now. We're in a real good spot. Y'all have had plenty of rest. There's no excuses. Roger Clemens said, the Rocket, said, y'all need to bust them inside. And if they have a problem with you busting it inside, I got a problem with them. I'll have to ease up there to Boston. Oh, and Jeff Passan. Personally, I don't care what your views are on Astros fans, but one more time, I hear that Astro fans suck. Not good. Not sure where you're from, if I could find out, probably. But I might have to ease over there and whoop that ass. Anyway, back to what I was talking about. We got another game in Boston. Then y'all got to come back here to Houston. We get back here in Houston, you know what's going to happen. We're going to be in the juice box. We're going to whoop that ass. Go Stros.
Yeah, so Jeff Passan, by the way, from Kansas City. I believe he was on with the guys in the afternoon yesterday. I'm guessing Show probably knows Jeff Passan from his time in Kansas City.
Did he say that Astros fans suck?
I don't know. I choose to believe that he did because Mama Sterner said that. You think I'm going to argue with her that he said that or didn't say that? I don't want to get my ass whooped. Mama Sterner was at Kirby Ice House yesterday. We watched a big part. Amy and I watched a huge part of the game. With her, that was fun, and to watch people at the bar hear her voice and walk past like with drinks in their hand, like, "Hey, is that Mama Sterner?"
Oh, they got excited.
Yeah,
she got, did Did she end up all right? I figure a lot of people probably wanted to buy shots for her.
She took a lot of pictures. I know that. Yeah, no, she was fine. Seth, I was in no condition to judge other people's sobriety yesterday at Kirby Ice House. So she seemed fine to me.
It sounds like our listeners are the most generous people in the world because they just plied you with liquor all night long.
It was incredible.
To the point where they selflessly probably hurt the quality of today's show but because they wanted to get you drunk. So they're like, okay, I won't enjoy the show as much tomorrow, but I'm going to get Sean drunk.
Yeah, so far so good. I feel okay.
Yeah, we're good. We're good. Don't worry about it. You're doing fine, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But you know, we'll see what happens by like 8:30.
The other guy that weighed in was Josh Donaldson last night.
From the Twins?
Yes.
What did he say?
The MVP, the multi-time All-Star. Josh Donaldson, who is under contract for several more years, by the way, with Minnesota. But he was defending the Astros a little bit. I didn't realize that Josh Donaldson was so active on Twitter. And I looked at his account. He's, as far as active athletes go, he might be one of the best guys I've seen. Because he weighs in with like really intelligent opinions.
He's not afraid
to be controversial. It's not just like a bunch of nonsense. Okay, this is some of those. And he was critical of the Astros at times, too. But he said this. First and foremost, this is the one that caught my attention. Hate it or love it, the Astros are that good. Bam.
Yeah.
So you know, and he took a whole lot of guff from non-Astros fans about that. But then he also said, "This Josh Donaldson, I love people saying nonsense about Altuve not being a Hall of Famer because they suspect him cheating. Please don't forget, if you are a Yankees/Red Sox fan, none of your guys are Hall of Famers because both of them got caught using Apple Watches before the Astros got caught."
I love this guy. That's awesome. That's a hot take for a current player right there.
You know what, too? This is a guy that owns it. This is a great thing about baseball players. They're the cockiest SOBs ever. His Twitter handle is Bringer of Rain 20.
That's fantastic. And,
yeah, he's really good. He asked, and he didn't say anything about cheating or anything. He asked, and this is a question I had at one point, I had a slightly different question, but he asked why Framber's forehead was the only one that was shiny. And a lot of people thought that he was insinuating cheating or something. Astros fans leapt into his defense, basically saying he sweats quite a bit. Framber is a very, very sweaty individual. And did you notice last night, there was something about the lighting at Fenway. And I'm not just talking about the mysterious light that was shining from right field.
Yeah, that was weird.
As the Red Sox were getting ready to bat.
Right.
That we'll find out more about that later. But it was like the skin tone of some guys looked really, really off.
It's a dim ballpark. You know what I mean?
Is that what it was?
It's always kind of been that way.
It gives people like non-human skin tones, which I don't like. I feel like it's part of Boston's ugly history of doing things.
If Seth were on the Astros, he'd be the one player putting makeup on before the game so he looks good on TV. That's what you would be doing.
No. It almost makes guys look like they're wearing makeup.
Yeah.
It's like their faces are all shiny and everything. It's a weird effect on people.
Okay.
Yeah, Carlos Correa took a little bit of a dig at Fenway without really saying as much. I can't remember. He said something a couple days ago about how it's such an old stadium. He couldn't do something because it's such an old stadium compared to the newer stuff.
Crazy, crazy old stadium. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Postseason game changer yesterday. We'll tell you what it is next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.